You're listening to the All Day Ruck Off podcast, episode number 77. Welcome to the All Day Ruck Off podcast, episode number 77. This is your host, Brian, and I wanted to thank you so much for tuning in. The All Day Ruck Off podcast focuses on the GRT and rucking community and includes interviews, motivation, and advice to keep you informed and get you ready for your next event. In this episode, we have an interview with Carl Antonio, who talks about his recent Veterans Day Go Ruck Tough event. I have to give a shout out to my buddy David. He actually found the post that Carl made in the Pathfinder Ruck Training Class 18 group that had pictures of the event and said that I should check it out. I went to the group, found the pictures, and was blown away by the event. You can check out the show notes for some of those pictures. It was a really unique Go Ruck Tough event, so I reached out to Carl, and that's how we got this interview together. Before we get into the interview, as always, I would love to give some thanks to those who have left reviews on either our Facebook page or on our iTunes page. This week, we've got a 5-star review from iTunes. I stumbled on the All Day Ruck Off podcast while searching for training suggestions for the upcoming Star Course 50 Miler in Seattle. I had read a few AARs and some military rucking sites, but still felt my searches were coming up short. And then I discovered this podcast. It's been an incredible resource and gave me all the information I was looking for and more. I'm even listening to back episodes as I do my training rucks. Thanks and keep up the hard work. You've got a great show, Dave. Thank you so much, Dave, for taking the time to write that. I'm glad that the podcast was a great resource for training up for the 50 miler. I know we've definitely been focusing a lot on the Star Course lately, mostly because it's such a new event and those pass rates for at least the first couple classes were pretty low. Thank you so much again for the support and for taking the time to write that. Announcements for this week: Go Ruck's Cyber Week sale is still going on. Huge discounts on events, 50% off challenges, the lights, toughs, heavies, 50% off the Star Course survival events. At the beginning of the week, even team assessment was 50% off. All that can be had with the code CYBER50. And then firearms events, 30% off with the code CYBER30. A ton of really good deals. Go Ruck has added roughly 100 plus events to their website this week, which has been really cool because if you're running a 50% off sale, it'd be incredibly easy to save those events, add them later when the sale's done. But it's been nice to see that they added them so you can take advantage of that sale with all of those new events. If you are going to register for an event and you want to help out the podcast, you can use the link acrt.us/goruck or acrt.us/grallevents. It's no extra cost to you. And if you do sign up for something, there's a chance that we'll get a small percentage back to help out the show. Those links will be in the show notes, as well as the discount codes for 50% off the challenges and 30% off the Firearms Day events. Those sales do end on November 30th, 2018. So if you're listening to this a day of or day after, figure out your events and sign up right away because there's not much time left. Thank you so much for the support. And here is the interview with Carl. Today, I'm talking with Carl Antonio. I'm really, really excited about this phone call because I was in the Pathfinder 18 group, and on last Monday, which was the Monday after Veterans Day, he posts up just a ton of pictures of this Veterans Day Tough event he did down in California, and there was some crazy stuff that happened in it, and I can't wait to get into it and hear how it went. So, Carl, how you doing today?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm ready.
Awesome. Thank you so much again for taking this time on your Friday to chat with me.
Oh, you bet, man. You know, more than happy to talk about Go Ruck.
Same here. So before we dive into this event, how did you get involved with GORUCK events and rucking and all that good stuff?
I first heard about GORUCK back in, I believe it was 2014. A buddy of mine was looking for, he was looking to get a GR1. And I didn't know anything about GORUCK. I didn't know what GR1 was. And he showed me. And he was like, yeah, this is what it is. And I was like, that's a really nice pack, right? Because it's very minimal. I think at that time I was carrying a 511 Rush 12. So you probably know what that is. It's got a lot of molly on it. And so when I saw the GR1, it didn't have a lot of molly. It looked very sleek. It looked durable. So I really liked it offhand. And I didn't know they did events until, you know, maybe 6 months, 7 months after that, and kind of listened to it more. And, you know, I didn't sign up right away though. I think I waited about a year. But I think what made me decide to do an event was shortly before that. I have a five-year-old. I think at that time he was maybe three. He was diagnosed with autism. So that changed a lot of things for me and my family, right? And, you know, me and my wife, we have a background in special needs, working with special needs. But I think it's one thing to work with them, but it's another to have one of your own. So that just changed some things for me. And it was kind of a wake-up call, really, because I asked myself, you know, what kind of person am I if I wasn't my 100% for him? You know, how can I serve him if I wasn't 100%? So I had to be better, you know, so physically, mentally. And, you know, around that time, I knew about GORUCK and the events. And I said, you know what, I'm going to train for this. So I did it. You know, really, he was the real reason. He was the first reason. And I think the more you do events, your why changes or grows, you know. But that was definitely the first why I signed up.
That's powerful. And I really like that about your why changing as you grow. I know when I did my first event back in 2011, my why was way different than my why now.
Oh, yeah.
7 years later, we've got my wife and I adopted our son out of foster care, and he's got some special needs too. And a lot of my why is now around him instead of what it was when I was, you know, young, 21, doing my first event and all that stuff.
Right. You're 21. Oh, let's do it. Let's ball out. Right. Physical. And, you know, you'll get those in GORUCK in events. You got those 20-something-year-olds that they're just nuts, right? Spartans, tough mudders. Hey, I get it. You know, that's amazing. That's cool. More proud to you. But my why's a little bit different than that, you know. And so you and I from kind of we're on the same team as far as our why, at least initially too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you said that, it's wild to think back and see how that changed over the years.
Yeah, I think like when you sign up for an event, like, you know, there's regular GORUCK tough events or whatever it is. It doesn't have a theme on it. I don't do those. I've never signed up to one just because I need something more, right? So the 9/11, you know, the Red Wings, those to me have a sense of even more honor to it. So I think when you sign up to those events, you have an idea of what it is. And you obviously you honor it, but I think when you going through it and the stories and the lessons that you hear from the cadre or even the other participants, that's where the growth is. And I think that's where you walk away after an event going, wow, that's even, you know, building better Americans, right? That's kind of the theme. And you become a better American after each one of those events. So that why grows and it evolves and you keep going.
Yeah, it sure does. It sure does. So you finished up that first event back in 2014, 2015 time frame, and you must have liked it because you kept signing up for events.
Well, check this out. Like, I heard about GORUCK in 2014, but I didn't actually, I wanted to, I contemplated signing up in 2016. It was a while. I think I heard about GORUCK like mid-14. And so I decided I wanted to do it or train in about mid-16. And it, you know, I was a wuss, man. I didn't sign up right away. You know, I was kind of putting it off, right? And it wasn't until 9/11 2017 was when I did my first event. So I'm a fairly new GRT, man, just a year, a little bit over a year. was actually when I first finally, you know, signed up for my first event, which was the 9/11 Tough here in San Diego.
Wow, I had no idea. That is a fairly new GRT, and that's, I'm glad you signed up for an event. I mean, that's one of those things, is when you keep looking at things and you keep watching it and watching it. Usually when I do that, I end up pushing it off forever. So good on you for signing up.
Especially your first event, you know, like you don't know, right? So you just kind of train for it and okay, fine, you know, I'll sign up and then maybe you'll push it forward or, you know, and things like that. But finally I did one and, you know, I haven't looked back since.
That's great. So your first event was in 2017, and then have you done a couple events between then and the Veterans Day Tough you did last weekend?
Oh yeah, I did. My second one after that was Bataan in April in Anaheim with actually Cadre Hampton Mike, same dude. And then I did Memorial Day shortly after that in San Diego with Cadre Monty and Cadre Brad. And then after that, I did Operation Red Wings Tough in LA. That was with Cadre Heath and Cadre Doug, the yellow one, Yellow Doug. After that was this one.
That's great. I mean, that's an awesome schedule. It's like every couple months, you get some.
Yeah, you wanna try to fill maybe at least once every 2 to 3 months. I mean, I wish I could do more. I mean, you know, you'll see some GRT that do one a month. You know, maybe more, but. You know, schedule-wise, family, things like that, you want to just, I like to just do about once every 2 to 3 months.
Yeah, yeah, it's a lot different with family. I have my adopted son, he's 4.5, and then I also have a year-and-a-half-year-old daughter, and so it's...
There you go.
The number of events I did when I had no kids was a decent amount, and then as soon as I had one, that dropped, and now that I've got two, it's dropped even further.
Yeah, for sure. But isn't it amazing though? Like the more, like if you look back on events, how physically stronger we are. Like I remember my first event, 9/11 Tough, man, I was like dying. Like after it finished, like I couldn't walk for like a couple of days. And the more you do it, you know, obviously conditioning, right? You just like, you're good to go for the most part after, you know, recent events. I mean, you're going to be sore, but the body just, it's amazing how things change. And that kind of translates to men and women in uniform too, like how that physical demand of what they have to do it day in and day out. That's pretty amazing.
Absolutely. And I mean, the way I feel after an event today is way different than how I felt after my first event. I thought I would never do another event after that first one.
And speaking of that, when I did, Bataan in April with Handsome Mike, man, that was a gnarly event too. Like, 51 people signed up, and somehow, some way, 47 coupons were brought. I mean, the weight was nuts. Like, it was all kinds of weight, too. It was like tractor tires, tree stumps, kettlebells, you know, dumbbells. And there was like the spear that was like a backpack. Like, it had like rope as straps, and you were running around with this big old spear on your back. I mean, huge, like from like maybe your calf to over your head. It was funny. It was that one was hard, man. Like he really wanted to emulate the death march, man. It was nonstop. But that one was fun though too.
Man, that sounds like quite the event. I'm gonna have to try and dig up some pictures. I want to see that spear.
Yeah, and the cool thing with that one too was I don't know if it was reading a book, but he was narrating. I think it was like a diary of someone. From the beginning part, he would read a few paragraphs. And then we would stop and he would read more that would pertain to that timeline of the march. So when we got to the end deck, you know, the prisoners were liberated, much like we were liberated. So he connected it really well. So this kind of, he did something similar to this one, kind of like Bataan too. So yeah, he really does a good job with meshing the theme and what you have to do and not just carrying weight the entire time, which is all good. And Danny would do that too. But he has a good way of really, really matching that theme.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that's been really fun to see Cadre do between the events is matching the theme of the event and incorporating different aspects. And you see some Cadre really, really embrace it. Like it sounds like might have happened last weekend for you.
Man, I love that one.
So I'm guessing a lot of the people who are listening haven't seen the pictures yet from last weekend's Goruktuff Veterans Day down there in California. But how much about the event and about the things you would be doing did you know before you went into it?
Not much. I mean, he mentioned it on the Facebook group that he was going to do it differently. And, you know, he said, he mentioned, you know, I'm going to run this event a little differently than what I'm used to. But when Cadre says things like that, you'll never really know, right? Because any cadre could change things up, and every, you know, cadre is different. So you really don't know what to expect. And obviously, you know, Handsome Mike isn't going to tell you, but you know, when you sign up and you show up, you know, you're going to do what he's going to tell you to do, and you just got to go with the flow. So we had absolutely no idea what we were going to do until we formed up and he let us know.
It's always good when you get some nice surprises like that.
Yeah, because, you know, most events, right, when someone says that, or when you think of an event, obviously there's going to be a lot of weight and there's going to be a lot of rucking. And that's pretty much all we could think of, you know, with that. And so when you mention different, like, how different can this be?
Right. And it turns out possibly quite a bit different.
Yeah. So, I mean, like 26 signed up and 17 showed up. So when we got to the parking lot, the first thing we were going to expect was, where's the weight, right? Because Handsome Mike loves coupons. I mean, whoever has done Handsome Mike, they know about coupons. He loves weight. So when we got there, when we formed up, there wasn't any other than the, you know, a team weight, which was a 25-pound sandbag and 4 jerrycans of water, and that was it. So when we formed up, and he introduced himself, right, as usual, and he told us that basically tonight you're going to do a condensed version of the Special Forces qualification course. So that's the course after selection. So when he said that, we're like, okay, so how are we going to incorporate this? You know, so what does that entail? Because we don't know what they do in QC. You know, so basically we have all been selected to proceed to a condensed Special Forces qualification course where we have to pass all phases in order to receive our Green Berets, AKA patches. So we were the candidates and he was the instructor. So we were like, okay, game on, you know, so... You know, that was pretty much the introduction. So after that, we were still kind of wondering, where's the weight? So when he said, okay, so the first phase will be land navigation / Star Course. So during the transition between selection and QC, SF candidates must complete the Star Course a second time. So they must successfully find all 5 points in order to pass. The Real Star Course drops you off in the woods around 2 a.m. with a map, compass, and protractor. So you're given the grid coordinates and must successfully navigate your way in the dark using no light during movement and avoiding roads. So basically with us, he said, we're gonna hit 3 landmarks and we're going to give you a basic map and you're going to stay, you know, out of the way of the main roads and you're going to stay in the dark. So he appointed 2 navigators with a map, a small and a large map, and the rest will follow. So he started walking us towards his car. Now, this is the funny part. So we thought, wow, there's not going to be any weight. This is crazy. This is absolutely crazy. This sums up. And on the other side of his car, so we couldn't see this when we were in formation, was this huge Mystery Ranch rucksack. I mean, a huge one. Like, I can't even tell you. It's huge. And he says, you guys are going to carry this so you know how it feels like to be a real SF candidate carrying things during the Star Course. And it was 140 pounds, this rucksack. It 140. Like, all right, it's on. And then these 2 sandbags, 2 80-pound sandbags that are carabiner together, so they're linked. You guys got to carry that. And another lighter 40-pound-ish sandbag. So we had those, our team weight, our 4 jerrycans for 17 people. And he goes, everyone has to take a shot at this huge rucksack at least once. You guys are all going to get a taste of this rucksack. They said, okay. So, you know, it took 2 to 3 people just to carry that and put that on someone. You can't even put that on yourself. It's just too heavy. And so we went on, and we our first landmark was a high school. We have 40 minutes to get there. You have a time act, 40 minutes. Grab all your stuff and go. So so we went, right? And yeah, definitely that rucksack was heavy. We were switching out of that rucksack probably once every 5 minutes, if that. Like, some dudes in our class was crazy strong. I mean, there were horses in that class, but the average person like me, like, give me like 1-2 minutes, I'm good, right? time to switch, man. Switch me out. But we made it to our first time hack, man. We did it in 35, 36 minutes. I was actually navigator. I had the map first. So we stayed out of the main roads. We stayed out of the light. You know, we took the smaller roads, smaller neighborhoods, and we got to the high school. So that was a good taste of Star Course. And that's just one landmark. There's three.
I saw a picture of that pack. Mystery Ranch, they make really good backpacks with, you know, really good support. And they're, you can carry a decent amount of weight with them. Easier than some other packs, but 140 pounds is just a ton of weight to slug around on your back.
Well, the thing is with that is, again, like the type of rucksack that was, it was one of those like overnight or multi-day hunting packs. It's huge. And so you can adjust the torso length on it, but when you're on a time hack and you don't have time to fiddle with adjusting things, you just have to put it on you, perhaps find a sternum strap, perhaps buckle the waist strap if you could, but you know, you have to keep going. So you don't really have a chance to get comfortable. And also the weight was on the very bottom on the outside. So when you wear it, you have to lean forward really, really far down, or else if you kind of stand up even just a little, you'll be thrown back. So it was definitely awkward to carry, Maddie. I mean, you were definitely like a turtle carrying that thing.
It's like worst case scenario all around.
Worst case scenario. And so when we got to our second landmark, it was at a park that was closed, so we just kind of stayed outside. We missed the time hack by a minute, which isn't bad, right? I mean, a minute, okay, I mean, we get it. We miss time hacks all the time. It's an event. And I don't know if you're familiar with Handsome Mike. He has this trademark move called Little Man in the Woods. Have you heard about that?
Yep.
Yeah. So squatted jumping jacks, right? So yeah, you got 60, Little Man in the Woods. Of course, four count. It's never just one count. It's always four count. And so you miss 60 seconds. You got to do 60 four count Little Man in the Woods. So we did that. Not a big deal. So we moved on to our third and final landmark, which is Griffith Park, which is the park right before it goes up to the trails of Griffith Observatory, Hollywood Sign, that area. And I believe we hit that hack too. We beat it on time. And that was basically the portion of Landmap or Star Course for the team. And the second phase was SUT, which stands for Small Unit Tactics. So in the real SUT, you attended, he mentioned, 2 months. There you learn how to patrol, write, and deliver operations orders, move as a unit, set and react to ambushes, and prepare security and communications techniques. Basically combat, basically Green Beret doing Green Beret things. And this phase for the real SUT is very demanding physically. So for us, what is something that's very demanding physically, which is the welcome party. So that was our welcome party. And Handsome Mike never does welcome parties in the beginning, because he mentioned to us in Bataan that, you know, it's not what you do fresh. It's never what you do fresh. So he likes to wait a little longer into the event to do the welcome party. So that's where we did our welcome party. It lasted almost an hour. Bear crawls, sprints, presses, climbers, burpees, push-ups. And he got us on the rolling, man. Roll to your left, roll to your right. I learned my lesson in Bataan. When I did too much of that, I vomited. So I try not to do that too much in this event. But some people didn't listen. And so we had a few people not feeling good. And I believe some of them vomited too. So.
Yeah, I mean, that stuff can just, especially if they throw it in towards the end. So you've been doing PT for half an hour, 45 minutes, and you're sweating, you're feeling pretty beat, and then all of a sudden you're just rolling and on your feet, on your back, roll left, roll right. It's that spinning can get in your head.
The simplest, you know, exercise, right? I mean, that doesn't take much physical to do. I mean, but it'll get you. Yeah. I mean, we were at this point, it was probably 12:30, a couple hours in. So, I mean, we were carrying those weights for a while and trying to hurry up. So we were definitely, you know, heart rate was definitely up there. And you know, PT, he keeps going, you know. So I think he had this funny line that I remember. He goes, you know, if you puke, eat it, pick it up, put it in your pocket. You know, that was his line. And he said in his selection, he puked 5 times. And that's what, you know, they would mention to him.
Oof, that's real right there.
Yeah, for sure. So after that, after about an hour of that, we started heading up to the mountains. So Griffith Park, again, a lot of systems, a lot of trails up there. So that was when we left the city. So basically, the majority of the event was on trails. It was on the mountain. A lot of it was incline, if anything. So we hiked up Griffith, walked past Griffith, and went through more trails. And it was probably, I don't know, at this time, maybe two in the morning, we stopped at this portion of this trail because it was completely dark. There was a security guy that wasn't happy with us that we rolled past Griffith. It was too late. You know, he kind of yelled at us. It's closed. You can't stay here. Well, we didn't mean to. We're just walking by. So we had all the lights off, no cameras, no flashes. So there was not a lot of, you know, photos in this portion, which is phase three. Which is SEER, so survival, evasion, resistance, and escape. So basically, that training helps you in case you were captured and held hostage. So you know, when you're being interviewed, certain things that you say or do, your mannerisms give certain information away. That's what we were going to go through in this phase. So basically, we were captured, and he was the enemy. So he had us line up in a single file line. And he took out empty sandbags in his ruck, white empty sandbags. And first he tied our wrists. So again, we were single file line. He tied our wrists together, both of them. And then he bagged us, so he covered us in that empty sandbag, so we couldn't see anything. And we were tied up real tight. So we're like, okay, so what's gonna happen here? I was a little concerned only because the trails were kind of on a ledge. You know, so on your right side, it was a cliff. So that was what I was thinking of when you're covered, and because he started pulling us, and we started marching. Like, I better not, you know, step on the hole. I better not get on, you know, fall off the cliff. That was kind of my thing. You couldn't see anything, and it got a little stressful too because you got a little bit of taste because he was marching us pretty fast. So what he would do is he would pull the point man, the very front guy, really hard. So you get jolted, and that rope or that string on your wrist got really tight. It kind of hurt a few times. And, you know, and eventually it stopped and he put us on our knees and it was real quiet. Oh God, what are we going to do? What's up next? You know, like we're covered up, we're tied up. You know, what's going to happen next? We didn't know. And I started hearing him cutting people. I can hear him cut the string. And it turned out he was cutting two people at a time. Okay, what's that about? And I was the sixth guy in. So one, two, three, four. So we were the third two that were cut. Me and Lisa Espinoza, she was in front of me. So we were tied up together. So by the time he cut us up, we're like, okay, so where are we going? You know, where did the other four go, right? And so he cut us up and he started marching us. And, you know, he was marching us for a while. And he goes, get on your knees. I said, okay. Before you get on your knees, you're going to put your hand under your thigh. You're going to sandwich it between your thigh and your calf. I said, okay, what's going to happen here? Because he told us before this phase, you know, keep an open mind. He just kept saying, keep an open mind. Okay. So he got us on our knees and he uncovered the empty the sandbag, so we were able to see. And so we uncovered us. I saw the other four dudes that have left earlier, right, just standing there real still, standing there like staring at us. I'm looking at Lisa like, what's about to go down here, you know? And he goes, you got two options, either do 60 four count little man in the woods or eat this worm. So he brought worms with him in his rucksack to eat. Immediately when I saw that, I was like 60, you know, for Cat Little Man in the Woods. I was good with that, right?
Yeah.
But Lisa looked at me. Lisa looked at me like, "Are you crazy? I'm not doing no PT." That, you know, she was looking at me. And Mike was like, "You guys, this is a team decision. And obviously, it's not going to be my decision, right? So it's going to be Lisa's." So he hands us the worm, and I plugged my nose and I ate the worm. And what's funny about that was, from what I remember, the worm was still moving. And I'm not about to swallow something alive in me. Just not. It's just not going to fly. So you got to chew it, right? But he was just real coarse, real pasty. He was bitter, but it was dull at the same time. And I started gagging. I started spitting and gagging. And then everyone starts laughing and giggling and chuckling. And then Mike starts chuckling. And at this time, I started thinking of, you know, that show, Fear Factor by Joe Rogan?
Yeah.
Fear Factor. Where they eat insects and animals. I started thinking about that for whatever freaking reason. So I started gagging more.
Oh, and then, man. You know,
they're laughing some more. And at the end, Mike was like, "Man, I wish that part was recorded, man. You guys had the best reaction." Because me and Lisa were gagging. We're gagging for a while, for like 2 minutes. You know, just, I don't know, man. I'm just not cool with that. So we were done gagging and spitting after a few minutes. And we were asking the dudes that went before, "Did you guys eat that too?" Because they were just cool. We're like, "Yeah, we ate it. Like, it was no biggie." And I get it, right? It's a little worm, okay. But I don't know, man. For me, I just wasn't cool with that. So after that, he started getting two more people, because we were kind of in the beginning. And me and Lisa were hoping that someone has a stupider, you know, reaction.
Right.
We didn't want to be the people to have the dumbest reaction. And dude, check this out, man. Like, everyone was like, "Cheers, cheers," and would down it. And so every time someone would cheers it and eat it, me and Lisa would look at each other, what? Like, everyone was thinking it was chicken, you know, like it was nothing. But I don't know, for us too, it was gross. So needless to say, we were kind of the laughing stock of the group there, of the people that reacted very, very funny and negatively, you know, with the worm.
Yeah.
So that was gross. I've never eaten anything like that. And I get, you know, some people wouldn't think anything much about a worm, but I don't know, man. To me, not cool with that.
Yeah, I probably would have had a very similar reaction. I would have been the person further down the line who had the worst reaction than you.
Well, the funny part was the last, we were odd, right? Odd numbers, 17. The last three, he had to grab three instead of, you know, two and one. And he did the same thing. He presented it. You got to do a 64 count, Little Man in the Woods. And everyone chose the worm. Every single one of everyone, probably but me initially, chose the worm. But the dude, one of the three, ate like the worm that was supposed to be for him and another person. So a third person never got to eat the worm. He was the only one, man. Norman is the only one. Norman Lim was the only one that didn't get to eat the worms. I was kind of, he's a buddy of mine. I was like, "Hey, you didn't get to eat it?" He's like, "No, man, the other dude ate it already." I'm like, that's funny. You know, but yeah, everyone got to eat a worm except for him. But yeah, that was definitely a funny phase, because again, I mean, you definitely felt it in moments that it was the suspense. You felt it because you were bagged up. You were, you know, this were tied, and 2:30 in the morning in LA, you were up in the trails doing weird stuff. That's definitely, yeah, suspenseful and funny at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you were bagged, did any light come in at all, or was it really just pitch black?
It was pretty pitch black. I mean, you could see a little bit of faint light from, I mean, by the way, there's gorgeous views over there. If you ever get a chance to go up to Griffith Observatory, it has a full view of LA. And we were up there for a while, just Kadri let us kind of sit there for a little bit and break. Beautiful views, and you get a little bit of light from it, but not completely. But he definitely didn't want our headlamps on or any flashes, because again, that security guard at Griffith didn't like us there, and apparently he was looking for us, so he was trying to look for us at one point. So we really had to be super quiet, super incognito while we were up there. So it was pretty pitch black, man.
Did that impact anyone? Did anyone drop because of that, or did everyone get right on board? And
no, they were on board, dude. Everyone was on board. Like I said, no one really reacted that much to the worm, but me and Lisa. Me and Lisa Espinosa, man, like we were the funny two that reacted negatively, because again, we were gagging and spitting for about 2 minutes, and yeah, we were the only ones. Everyone was down for it, man. Like I said, everyone was like, cheers. You know, like it was beer, and they would just down it like it was nothing. Like, I don't even think they took a sip of their water afterwards, you know. But yeah, so we were done with that, and we worked for a while, man. We were just up there for a while. Just the crazy thing about those trails is, you know, it goes up and it kind of levels out, and you think this is the peak, and you kind of think it'll go down a little bit, but it'll go back up again. So most of our miles that we did was mainly all mountain, and it was all incline. So it was definitely hard with that rucksack, because at that point we were trading off, probably for me, I think I traded it off after 20 steps, and someone, you know, carried it for another minute. Like, but again, there were a few dudes, man, a few horses in that class that would carry that for a while, 5-10 minutes, maybe even longer. But definitely, you definitely felt it going up there in the mountains on that incline with that weight, that rucksack.
Yeah. So when you guys were bagged up, did Kadri take that rucksack, or did someone have to cart it then too?
Oh yeah. So before that phase, he had us hide. It was like a little hill on the side of, like a shoulder on the side of the trail, and he had us put everything away.
Oh, good.
Just in case maybe somebody came. And so we were able to, you know, go up that, put everything back there, and then line up in single file. And then that's when he was able to introduce us what Sheer was, and then bag us up, tie us up, and then go through the march, and then had us eat the worm.
I've only been to one Gorok event where we've had to eat an insect, and I think I had a very similar reaction to what you and Lisa had.
Right. You know, and yeah. I think it had a little bit of dirt in it. Maybe that's what the coarse part was. But apparently Handsome Mike, he mentioned, you know, he's done this before, and I think there was a cupcake, and there was like something, an insect baked within that cupcake, you know, and some other stuff, man. I mean, it could always be worse, obviously. But at that moment, at that time, didn't like it, man. Wasn't feeling that one.
Yeah, I would have been right there with you. Give me the PT. Like, I will take the 60 little man in the woods over eating the insect.
You know, apparently people hate that, right? And you know, as soon as he's like, I'm gonna give you two options. I'm either do 60 four count. I mean, as soon as I heard 60, I was just gonna get up and do it right away, just to be done with it.
But yeah.
Lisa gave me the look like, what? No, we're not. You know. And hey, it's gotta be a team decision. And I said, okay, well, it's gonna be Lisa's call. So, you know, I took that worm like a champ as best I could. You know, and I think I told the other four that were chuckling to shut the f up. You know, at one moment. You know, because I'm like, shut up. You know, because they were egging it on. You know.
Yeah. Calm down over there, please.
Yeah, you know, it was a good time, man. I mean, obviously, you know, it was gross at that time, but looking back at it, like, that's what makes an event. That's what the funny times, the funny reactions, and that's what makes an event. And I even mentioned Lisa, or even some of the people in the class, we're not going to talk about this. We're not going to talk about our reaction, you know, and here I am talking about it on the podcast, right? I'm like telling everyone what happened, but you know, when you got to laugh at yourself, and you got to be able to take a, you know, talk about a funny story about yourself, and, you know, stories are good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of moments like that where you're like, I can't believe this is happening, or like, we're never talking about this. And then at Gorok events, and 2 days later, you're laughing.
I was also wondering, like, what else does he have in his rucksack, right? I mean, he brought a huge 140-pound rucksack. He has empty sandbags. He's got worms, you know. It's like, what else is going to happen in this event? You know, I mean, he's really just, you know, I think before we left that phase, I was telling Mike, hey, man, this is an amazing event, by the way, man. Whatever you're doing, you're putting together some really gnarly, crazy event. And I told him, this is probably going to go down as my favorite event, just because it was just so unique. We were going through phases, and we have to pass all of them, you know, to be able to win that Green Beret, a.k.a. Patch, you know, in the end. And he's like, cool, man, I appreciate that. So it was definitely well thought out. So after that, we were just up there for a while, just moving and moving, moving. And that was third phase. And then fourth phase was the engineering course, the 18C course. That's what they call it. Basically, you know, Mike explained how difficult that course was. So, you know, when he was active duty, Mike was an engineer sergeant. That's what he was. And so basically the fail rate of that is really, really high. So basically our engineering version was he had us play a game of human minesweeper. So we had he brought like this, you know, really long string and that would be cut in like a 15-foot long strips. And we made them out on the ground to be like tic-tac-toe. Right. So we made two of those, and some boxes within that tic-tac-toe had something in it to indicate a bomb. And it was two people at a time. So one person had a hood on their head, so covered up, and he carried a sandbag while the second person navigated him through that tic-tac-toe and avoid the bomb. Right. So take one step forward, you know, side step to the right. Take one step forward, and if you touch that area where the bomb is, you start over. So since we had two of those, we split the team or the class in half, and so we competed who would finish first, right? So my team didn't win, and he had us do, I think, Little Man in the Woods, but I think the entire team did it anyway, so, right, teamwork. So that was really fun. That was really cool. And then the other part of the engineering was he had us check for, this is just pretend, explosives under objects, aka sandbags. So using a carabiner and some rope. So an engineer, aka GRT, checked to see which sandbag he thought had a bomb under it by hooking a carabiner on that bomb and then pulling it slowly to see if there is one. But we had to make sure that we were about, you know, a certain distance away. So in case that a blast would go off, we wouldn't be affected. And as little as that portion was in the event, he goes, we'll use that later. So just keep your mind on that. So keep your mind on that. I'm telling you right now that which will apply later. I'm like, okay, so we'll keep our mind on that. So that was the engineering portion of it. And again, more rucking in between, right? Carrying, moving, things like that. Again, throughout the mountain there on the trails. And the fifth phase was culture and language. So he explained to us, to the class, about it's called D-Lab, D as in dog, lab, D-Lab, test to assess one's ability to learn a second language. And that all Green Berets speak a second language. So based on your score of your D-Lab, you'll land a certain language. Now, some languages are harder to learn. So you got like things like Farsi and Dari and Arabic. And then you have the more easier languages like Spanish. Right. So apparently Mike scored really well on that. And so he got the harder language, which was Dari. So I think he was pretty, he told us he was pretty pissed off that he got something real hard because I think he wanted to learn Spanish or French, something like that. And so, So he, you know, during that phase, he taught us a lot of the customs and the mannerisms and certain keywords to say when you're speaking with a foreigner. And again, this is to apply later, you know, so like when you shake their hand, You pat your chest after you shake your hand up, you know, for respect. You know, never show the bottom of your foot, apparently, to them. It's a sign of disrespect. So just general, you know, common courtesies to foreigners when talking to them. So that was the culture language part. Again, this is going to apply later on. So we did some more rucking, At this time, I think... the sun was coming up a little bit at this time. It was early morning. And the next and final phase we were going to go through is called Robin Sage. Again, Robin Sage, it's basically the culmination of all the training you went through. Now you have to apply it in a mock mission. So if you were in the real QC course, it's all your months of training and you got to go through this Robin Sage, I believe, which will last a month too. Like it's a long mock mission. So he explained the actual phase and what it entails. So basically, this is what our mock mission was. He informed us about a real life Robin Sage
and how each man inserted into Pineland with 140 pounds of gear and had to walk up and down a mountain for roughly 12 hours to link up with the guerrilla force. He then explained the Robin Sage scenario to them. There is a new bomb maker in town. I'm reading this, by the way, because I couldn't remember it completely. He had me, he wrote this to me. Word on the street is that this bomb maker has made a new bomb and will soon employ it against a convoy or support soldiers. They must gather a team of three to link up with the source, aka Mike, that may have info on the bomb maker. So we chose three GRTs, and the rest of us were just following along and we're watching this role play going. And so Mike's standing kind of in a distance and we're walking up to him. And again, so our goal is to just gather intel. So the three GRTs went up to him, used their language and mannerisms that he taught us earlier on, you know, certain words you say, how you shake their hand and how you compliment them to kind of swoon them into giving you intel. So that's where the language part applied to this event. So after linking up with the source, we were able to extract the information, who the bomb maker was, their location, and a picture of the bomb maker. So he pulls out his phone, and the picture of the bomb maker, this is Wall Pretend, obviously, is someone who was shadowing us. Her name was Tabby. Tabby's awesome. So she was going to be our pretend bomb maker, and she was at the, you know, at the bottom of the hill. So we go there, right? So we begin rucking towards the location of the bomb maker, again, which is Tabby. And once we located her, again, this is just role play, we came under attack and we had to defeat her security with PT. Of course, PT,
of
right?
Of course.
We gotta do PT. So again, more sprints. You have, you know, 60, 75 minutes to get from here to the bush. Ready, set, go with your ruck. And we did it. You know, okay, go again. Okay, push-ups. Okay, let a man in the woods. And that's how we defeated, you know, the bomb maker, the enemy force. So we captured this bomb maker and we took her to the location of the IED. So now the bomb maker, we replaced Tabby with Mike. He's now the bomb maker. We're just pretending. And he goes, well, this bomb maker though is injured from this incident. Now you got to carry him. So we had a casualty. So, you know, and at this part, this was towards the end. This is basically Endex. He goes, well, this is your last part. You're now close to the IED. You found the bomb maker. Though he's injured, you got to carry him to location so you can defuse the bomb. And so we had to carry Mike, and we went down to the starting point. So at this time, we were descending from the trails. And the little funny part about this was, you know, Mikey B.
Yeah.
He was like walking up the trail like randomly. We're like, what the hell? That's Mikey B. He was like walking up the, hey guys, what's up? You know, we're like, what the hell are you doing here? it was just funny because we weren't expecting that, you know. And but it turned out he was planning on being there. You know, he linked up with Mike earlier and he wanted to watch us. But we thought he was hiking and he just happened to see us. But Mikey B was there. So we hurried down to the, we descended down to the city. We got to the start point and we put the bomb maker down and we were able to locate the IED and he showed it to us, right? He brought it to us and it was like a shoebox shape, a little bit bigger, but it was covered in like a cardboard box, it's brown, like paper bag, and it says IED on it. And he goes, so how are you going to defuse an IED or how are you going to remove it? And remember that story where we had to carabiner the sandbag to show the IED with the rope. You got to hook the sandbag with the carabiner and then you have to pull the rope. That's what we did. So we pulled the handle. We carabinered the handle of the IED and we pulled it. And guess what it revealed? Our beer for Endex. So that was our IED. That was the Endex. It was beer. IED was beer.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was the ending. So we were like, yay, you know, and that was, you know, we found the bomb maker, we found the IED, we defused it, and we got beer.
It's like win-win-win.
Yeah, definitely. So as you can see, you know, the phases and the sequence of this, you know, it not only had the lecture or the lesson, you know, verbally, we actually applied it. It was actually practical. You felt that at times you were in that fight, you were in that training. So that made it special, man. I mean, it was definitely such a well thought out event. And, you know, there were some really good guys there that really pulled through. That was just, no one quit. Obviously, it was too fun to quit. And it was hard too, but no one quit.
I love classes like that, where everyone who comes through at the start ends it. It's always super motivating to see. Was that the first event for anyone in that class?
There were, I believe, 1, 2, 3 new ones. Never been to any GORUCK events. And then there were, I think, 2 that have not done a tough, so only a light.
What a first event for them. That's an amazing first event.
Oh, man. Yeah, definitely. I mean, right? Way to set the expectation after this. You know, if it was your first GORUCK event or your first tough, definitely. That definitely sets the expectation, the fun.
Yeah. Yeah, because I mean...
And it's good. And it's good to do it with friends, too, you know, and that's what makes, and obviously you make friends afterwards, but when you do events with friends, you know, Ian Blake, John Mack, and Lisa, Norman, you know, those guys show up, Dominic Perez, like when those guys show up, it's fun. Yeah, I think there were a few times during the event where we were taking each other's team weight, you know, just to make, you know, just for fun, you know, we'd just grab it from one another and run away and look back and smile and, you know, taking each other's team weight, you know. That was, you know, there was some goofing off in that event too, you know. It was fun.
Yeah, it's always a blast when you, when you know people and you're friends with people at the start of the event. Because just like you said, at the end of the event, you'll pretty much be friends with everyone. But going into it, it's, man, it's a good time.
Yeah. And so for me, you know, what I learned is, you know, I signed up for Veterans Day because my dad's a 20-year Navy vet. And so I have a brother-in-law that was in the Army for 20 years and actually carried 2 of his patches with me just to honor that. And actually our team weight was just a basic sandbag, but the patch that I put on there was my dad's. It was a patch of a, you know, USS Enterprise, CVN-65. That's a Navy ship back in the early 80s that he was aboard on. And so that patch, what he bought it in 1981-82, was like 37 years old, and it was on that sandbag, you know, so we carry that too. So, you know, no one lost it. And yeah, I mean, you go, and that's what it's about, right? You go and do these events, and what you always take something from it, but you definitely have a greater appreciation for veterans and what he went through. So, I mean, again, that's just a very small taste, if that, of what Mike went through and what other people have gone through to protect your freedom. So that was what's special. And obviously I'm talking about it with such high regard because it's such a good memory for me and other people, you know, in that event. So, and that's what it's about. It's about, you know, GORUCK, right? Bridging, you know, military and civilian. And that event exemplified that, you know, and then some.
What a powerful event, and just a great way to throw a Veterans Day event.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. So I'm hoping that he'll come back again in Southern California and do more. But obviously, you know, what's next, right? What's next on the agenda? But you definitely take away from that event.
Yeah.
Remember it.
So what is next for you?
I don't have anything right now. And as far as close, the only thing I'm signed up for now next summer is a D-Day. HTL. I'm going to attempt my first HTL. There's a D-Day event here in San Diego at the end of May, early June. So that's the only, and it's a 75th anniversary D-Day. So that's what I'm signed up for, and along with other friends that were in that event and Best Day that are signed up for. So it's going to be a huge group that are going to attempt to get that HTL together. So that's what I'm signed up for. But I definitely want to do a few more in between that. I think Battle of the Bulge is in LA. I think it's springtime. I might do Bataan Heavy. That's in San Diego in April. So I'll have my eyes on that. And there's also Pearl Harbor in San Diego next month. So possibly that too. So we'll see.
Yeah, you guys have a pretty full event schedule down there.
Yeah, definitely, right? Southern California, there's always something going on here, and that's a good thing, you know. So whether it's San Diego or LA, I don't mind the drive, you know, and yeah.
Absolutely. I've got a number of friends who are doing at least the heavy for D-Day in 2019.
Right.
We're getting the HTL up here too.
And I also like that there's a lot more new events coming up in 2019. You know, Battle of Fallujah, I think it was, and Anaconda and Ramadi, I think it was. So some new patches there to keep things fresh. So, and again, so when you go to those things, right, that I'm sure you're going to hear some crazy stories in those events that define history in our country, and you know, and that determine, you know, where it is now, right? Those little incidents. So that's why you got to keep signing up, you know, especially those new events, to learn more about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm really excited about the upcoming event schedule, all the new special events that are being featured. It's going to be really cool, especially because the group of cadre are really embracing the special events and doing things to make them, you know, that much more unique in their own right.
Oh yeah, in their own right, for sure. Yeah, I'm excited to see what they can come up with in those events and those themes. And I'm sure a lot of them were, you know, a little bit more modern day, right? Ramadi and Fallujah, and I'm sure they were involved in that in some way. So looking forward to that.
Me too. So you've got that was an awesome event, the Veterans Day, all the stories that you told, everything we went through with that. I mean, probably one of the most unique events that I've heard at least a long time. I mean, just there's not many events that you can go to and get bagged and have to walk and go through all that. So,
right. I mean, and again, we're more than happy to carry weight the entire 12 hours and maybe speak once or twice about that specific theme. Don't get me wrong, you know, but you know,
it's just next level.
I could do that too, but I want people to learn, and I want people to understand, and I want people to meet in between, right? Military, civilian. And I want you to take something out of it, you know? And so that's why I think he put so much thought into it. And I heard the same thing similar happened to the light. You know, so some fun stuff there too. You know, I didn't do the light, but I heard that was fun too. So, you know, especially when it's Veterans Day and it applies to what we did as far as training or what someone can go through in military, that again, it makes it very extra special. And the things that we carried, you know, my dad's patch, my brother-in-law's patch, and that heavy rucksack, he called it Big Hoss, HOSS. That was his name. And, you know, to feel that sucker, man, you have no idea when you were going up and down those dirt terrain. I mean, there were some people that were carrying that up and down like no other, like Ian Blake, David Vandersmith, Manny Cifuentes. Those guys were just on that sucker, just going up and down those hills. And you know, it was fun, dude. It was so fun. Can't wait to do another one.
Yeah. And that's always such a good feeling. And that's one of the reasons why I like doing events every couple months, because you're so excited at the end of the event, especially a good one, and you can't wait for the next one. And it's just so fun to ride that into the next event and, you know, just be
Is it just me, or like, do you sometimes feel like if you have nothing signed up in the near future that, like, man, don't you feel kind of like, I wouldn't say like useless, but like you just have this like, man, what do I do?
Yeah.
You know, because I like to live with purpose, right? I want to live with meaning. I want to live like I'm looking forward to something and training for something that's bigger than yourself. And so when you have something signed up, let's say that day, you look forward to it. And when you're done, you feel good and you want to do another one. So, I mean, right now I don't have anything near me. So I'm feeling a little like, man, what do I do? Like, I'm going to do something. I mean, yeah, I'm doing Pathfinder. I get it. That's cool. But I want to earn my next patch. You know, I want to honor some more.
Yeah. Yeah. And I definitely get that feeling. And then if it's been too long between events, I get this weird nervous feeling when I show up to a tough. Like if it's been 4 months or 5 months between events, then I show up to the Tough and I'm all nervous the day of and standing there on the line. And I just got these weird feelings. And it's funny. If I'm doing Tufts like 2 or 3 months apart, then I don't get it. But as anything longer than that, then I feel like it's my first event all over again.
I'm with you. And that's how I felt like in between 9/11 Tough in September to Bataan in April. So that was what, 6 months, you know, 6 month gap. And, you know, considering looking back what we went through in that event, man, that was a hard one. Whew. You know, definitely physically demanding. But yeah, I know exactly what you mean, man. So that's why like every 2 months, maybe three at the most, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just it's a great reminder and a great, like you said, you know, living with a purpose. It's something to train for and to think about, and especially with these the memorial events, the Veterans Day events, the battle events that they're coming up with, it's going to be something new to focus on, learn about, and just find a new way to remember and pay respects for.
And I'm sure your why will grow after that, right? So at least mine does every time I do an event. So, you know, a special appreciation. I've always appreciated veterans, obviously, but now it's, you know, and then some now, you know, and moving forward to the next event, because, you know, even your teammates are veterans too, and cadres, obviously. And so that why grows, and you become better, you know, I hope you become better. And for me, I feel that, you know, every time I do an event. And that's why I feel like now it's like I can better serve my son, you know, because I am physically better. I am mentally better. And yeah, I got to think about it. Like I have to take care of him. My wife and I have to take care of him the rest of our lives. That's just how it is. That's the hand that we were faced, right? And I'm okay with that. But I got to build up my arsenal, right? I gotta get fit. I gotta be better. So, and I feel that, you know, I lost what, almost 30 pounds since pre-Goruk. So, you know,
congratulations.
Yeah. I mean, I feel stronger and I've never been this fit, you know, and obviously it's not going to stop here.
That's phenomenal. And it sure doesn't sound like it's going to stop here. You've got plans for your first heavy and an HTL. I mean, that's big stuff.
HTL, man. Yeah, that's why I did. That's why I signed up for Pathfinder Advanced. I'm going to sign up for obviously class 18 right now. So I'm going to do Advanced 19, basically up to the HTL. I'm still thinking of Star Course, maybe LA. That's in the spring. I thought maybe that's a good precursor to HTL because it does have distance. But we'll see. We'll see. I'll fill it out as it gets a little closer.
Yeah, Star Course is a fun event. And I, at the very least, you could look into the 26.2-mile event as a good training ruck up to the HTL.
Right.
If you don't want to blow your body on the 50.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I don't want something happening where I get injured and I can't do HTL. Yeah, for sure. Hey, congrats on doing that 50, man. That's not easy, dude. For sure.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a huge event. I mean, the course was nuts. We ended up going over 60 miles on it, and it was a crazy time. But it was one of the most fun events I've done, and I'm really, really excited that they're expanding not only to more cities, but expanding the distances for 2019.
I tell you what, man, 2019, I think this is, you know, out of all the years that I've seen, you know, they definitely have come up with a really good lineup of events this coming year. And obviously there's some events that are going to come back, but for sure they've come up with some really good, especially the Star Course where, you know, there isn't going to be any smoke session. It's just going to straight gut it, right? Straight rucking and gutting it out for X amount of miles. And that gives it a new flavor too. You know, it's not all just all about carrying weight and coupons. This is just classic rucking.
And that's what one of the things that makes it so fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm excited about all the stuff that you've got going on. I need to go and recheck out the calendar because I know we got Bataan coming. So we've got a Tough Light coming to Seattle. And it's one of those new ones where the Tough starts in the morning and the light class joins it in the afternoon.
I saw that. That's Battle of the Bulge, right? 7 a.m.?
Yeah, yep.
Why is that? Do you know?
They're trying it out as just a new way to do events and see how it works, I guess. It's gonna be interesting. So I'm looking at that, and then we've got a Battle of the Bulge down in Portland too, which is about a 4-hour drive, and they've got an HTL okay. down there. And so I'm I'm trying to figure out where I'm going for Battle of the Bulge, if it's going to be Seattle for this combined tough light, or if it's going to be down to Portland and hang out with some people doing the HTL.
All right, on. I'm sure any one of those won't disappoint.
Oh yeah, they'll both be good events.
Dang, that sounds exciting, dude. For real. I got a little story on Bataan. So I'm Filipino, right? And I was born there, and I came here when I was 8. I'm 35 now. And my great grandfather was actually somewhat affected or was involved in that. So check this out. He was a guerrilla back in the day. So this is the early 1940s. I think it was 1940. And the hut that he was staying in, along with his comrades, was ambushed by Japanese. But before it was ambushed, he had left that hut to go get the food at a nearby village. He was gone when the Japanese came and ambushed that hut and took his comrades, except him, away. And, you know, the village, kind of surrounding village, kind of heard about it, and he found out about it, and he didn't come back to that hut, obviously. He went back home and took my great-grandmother, and they pretty much hid from different mounds and villages until, you know, Japanese left. So check this out, right? So if it wasn't that decision to leave to go get food at that specific time, I wouldn't be here. So he wouldn't create 3-4 generations after him just because of that little decision. So I didn't realize this too, like in Gorak, like history is very important because everything that happened in the past determines where we are now. So whether it's 9/11, whether it's wars, little decisions within the wars are all very vital and important to the future. So that's why I even value my freedom and being an American even more, because everything that's happened before you, someone did that so you can have that freedom to live where you are now. So I'll leave it off at that. You know, so that's why it's so good to honor that sacrifice, because if it wasn't for them, like, you wouldn't be able to have this freedom as you have now.
That's heavy. That's just so much to think about.
That's crazy, huh?
Like, yeah.
What my grandfather went through, that's nuts, man.
Yeah, just that one little decision. I mean, and it sounds like he could have left a couple hours earlier and he would have been back when it happened. He could have left a couple hours later and he would have been there when it happened. I mean,
And I share that in Bataan, and that's why I did that event to honor him. And, you know, so yeah. And his comrades never made it back. They all died, dude, in the march. They all died in the march. Except for him.
Wow.
So, you know, it's crazy, man. Like, looking back at that. So that's why that you have to really value your freedom, and because it wasn't, your life now isn't without someone's sacrifice. It's just not going to happen, you know? So that's why I think that's what appeals me with Gorak now. You know, it's just, you got a debt to pay. You got to earn your right to be called an American. You have to earn your right to be called a father. So you got to earn those things. You got to keep earning it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that story.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're welcome, man. I mean, anytime.
Obviously the event that we just talked about was big and just an incredible event, but I mean, that personal story about Bataan and you doing that event, and then, you know, 3 generations, right? From one decision to all the way back. That is wild.
Yeah, that's very wild. That's very wild. And I think that's also, like, I got even more super excited when I found out that Handsome Mike was going to do Veterans Day, because I remember Bataan. And I remember the honoring that we did in that event. So I was like, I knew something good was going to come up in this event today. You know, if Bataan was that good, you know, if Bataan was that special, this one was going to be special. So, and it was, you know, so, and all of them are, don't get me wrong. They're all fun. I remember every single one of them, and I would do it again and again and again. So,
yeah, but they're all fun and they're all special in their own way. And
when you
start talking about them, each one in particular, you know, individually, you can really pull out the pieces and the reasons and the whys and everything that makes them that important.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. So definitely.
Well, I mean, Carl, I've taken a ton of your afternoon on this Friday day. I don't know how the weather is down by you, but it's not bad by us. I want to thank you so much again for taking all this time to talk about the events, about, I mean, your stories, your why, and even, you know, your history. And I mean, is there anything else that you want to talk about related to these events or, you know, anything GoRuck in general?
No, we're good, man. I think I pretty much said what I, wanted to share and, you know, my why and things like that. And hopefully, you know, other GRTs feel the same way. And coming from the civilian side, you know, all is well, man. You know, you just got to keep earning it, dude. You got to earn your day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And thank you so much again. I really do appreciate you, and I appreciate this.
You bet, Brian, man. It was good talking to you, man. Anytime.
Thank you so much for listening to the All Day Ruck Off podcast. I truly hope you enjoyed this episode. It was awesome talking to Carl about the event, everything they did, and hearing the stories from Bataan. If you want to check out pictures or any of the links that we talked about, you can head on over to the show notes at alldayruckoff.com/podcast/episode-077. Final quick reminder, 50% off GoRuck challenges, 30% off Firearms Day events, codes Cyber50 and Cyber30 respectively. If you want to support the podcast, you can use the links acrt.us/GoRuck or acrt.us/grallevents. And if you sign up for something, we'll get possibly a small percentage back. If you enjoyed this episode, we would love it if you would leave a review on either iTunes or on our Facebook page. You can search for All Day Ruck Off on either of those, and we should show right up. Hopefully you had a great Thanksgiving and are getting into the holiday season. I know there's a lot of Santa Ruck events coming up. If you're signed up for one of those, good luck out there. I hope you have a great time. And if you're signed up for a non-Santa Ruck event, I hope you also have a blast. Thank you so much for all of the support. And don't forget, attitude is everything. Keep yours positive and drink hard, ruck harder.